Today on EPL, we will discuss timing, knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them, and knowing when to just let it go.
Yes, you know I live for some Mary.
We all live for some Mary, and we're waiting on that next album.
No, it's out. Is it out? Yeah. It's out.
She is blowing
that X up.
Oh, we love it.
Fire. That's she's blowing it up. She's giving you everything. You are purchasing all the juice.
Yeah. Well, why would she do that? Because then aren't they still
That's what Beyonce does. You got it. If you want to know, buy it.
She's not going through a divorce.
I mean,
that could make it hard for her. Like, with her case, what kind of job is
he fell in love with her artist.
Wait a minute. We can cut the music. Thank you so much. Is it love? How did you come to the conclusion that it was love?
Ooh,
that's a little sweet. Yeah,
very sweet.
This is melted Jolly Rancher.
You mean Kendu and his new in the side Boo. Piece? Mm-hmm. So how do we know? Yeah, how do Maybe we know it's love?
He said. She he said. Love. Wait. Ooh, Mary said. So on I saw this on you know a vi- interview that she said that it was his soul. Oh no, I don't want to mix. Let me drink down the...
It's like cheap champagne,
I'll mix
though.
It.
You're not going to get sick.
Okay. Mother Cherie, do what she says or else you're out of here.
Okay. Come on, y'all. Let's get it popping. You guys, welcome to Eat, Pray, and Live. We're so glad that you joined us while I'm pouring. I'm going to multitask. I'm going to pour, and I'm going to introduce our panel to my left. We have back with us for like... You're like a part of the show. Like, we can't keep calling you a guest. I am one of the in the closet hosts.
I'm out the closet now.
Why did you say in the closet hose?
Host.
Well, okay.
Maybe I need to hear that's
well, I mean, I'm going to have to talk to Cherie because her brain.
Well, you know, Demetrius said if you ain't booed up, I think this is the last
Our
week. If
up.
You're not booed up, you're going to have to be a home
for
the summer.
Yeah.
That was his philosophy. You have to be
You see how they just forced me into this way of life.
They just do. They put you in. They put you out
I'm
there.
Just repeating what I heard. That's it.
What have you heard?
But I don't want to be booed up.
There was a whole article about it.
Well, okay, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. And then to Michelle's left, we have Diva D back in the house.
What's cracking, boo?
Thank you for, you know, Diva D makes the trek from Orange County to be with us.
I sure do.
We feel really blessed and privileged. It is not an easy drive, so thank you for
being
here.
And proof that black people do live down in Orange County.
I can't wait to join
them. Okay, all seven of us. Number eight, come on through.
Number eight, that's funny.
For real.
And then last and never least, my militant me in the house, Courtney Stewart.
Yes, and I'm actually militant today. I'm actually angry.
I can see that.
I'm pissed off.
Anytime you wear the Not My President shirt,
that's exactly
we know.
Why I wore it. I was mad again. So,
see, and we're matching. Because
yes.
I got my little orange
We coordinated.
Jacket.
He wore the
heat. He's got his orange face.
Yeah. You got your jacket is like Trump. Orange.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
What
Trump
it is.
I just want to say thank you to all of the Trump supporters who helped get this man elected because, honey, I am living for all this tea. I'm waiting for him to be dragged into the galleys and just throw him in jail and lock away the key. I can't, every morning I wake up, I can't wait.
What's the latest? What happened today?
Hasn't happened? Like, it's something different.
So
like,
is he
every
tweeting
day.
Again?
He tweeting. He done told people secrets. He don't care. It doesn't matter.
Oh, he's mad about the special prosecutor.
Saying they're not going to do it. Still want to fire the press and not have any press conferences. Like, he's a mess.
How much time do you think he has left? You think he'll be out by 2018?
If he's not, we just need to elect some Democrats or independents to just kind of put a buffer on the House. And,
for real. Because if that goes well when the 2018 election happens, we might be all right.
I say let him stay there. Don't, because this Congress, I doubt they'll impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, like, Paul Ryan's the one who's got a call for the impeachment. They're not going to do it. So just drag it out until 2018. Let's flip the House.
Can we at least get a break on our taxes before he goes? Something.
I mean, we'll see.
Well, he was trying to do
it. He ain't paying no taxes this year.
He was trying to do it.
I think that's a waste of hard-earned money.
You're just going to say, because Donald Trump is in office, I ain't paying taxes.
You're just not going to do it. I refuse.
And you,
know what happens? They're going to...
And I'm not showing
the taxes. You're right in jail.
No, what's his name?
Madoff.
No, the one who... Madoff is not here anymore.
Did he die behind bars?
You know what he did.
Bernie Madoff isn't dead.
He's still in jail. I think
his son killed himself.
Okay, his son killed himself. Yeah,
he's
just
in jail.
Okay,
he's just riding.
What's his name? You know the guy who the black guy they sent
Wesley.
They gonna Wesley snipe you.
Didn't he go overseas?
I have no problem living overseas. He served his time. But if they have an extradition treaty, like, they can send you back.
And they put some other celebrities. What's her name? The one who can never show up to a gig on time.
Who?
Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. Honey, all of them about to go to jail. Abby Lee Miller about to go to jail from Dance Moms because she was trying to not pay taxes on
bankruptcy
some money.
Fraud. Oh, that's
right. She kept it in cash in a bag talking about she coming back from Australia with $750,000.
Are you for real? That's gangster, though.
It was gangster as hell. How are you going to carry it in the bag? Because she didn't want to have to claim it.
Was she on a commercial flight?
Yeah.
She should have went private. She should have went private. She should have spent, because from Australia, maybe $50,000. She should
might help us.
Any IRS people out there watching are taking notes on you.
I pay my taxes. I don't mind giving it up because you got to anyway.
I do. I think it's ridiculous.
I've accepted it.
Ridiculous. I'm traumatized.
But see, if Donald Trump ever does classes on how to, you know, be the I'm taking it.
He did Trump University, girl.
Why didn't you go
there?
When did he have it?
Trump University.
That's why other people suing him now.
I'm late.
She'd have been the first.
Now I believe it.
You'd have been the first coon up in there losing your money.
Now I'm a coon, and now I'm going to lose my money.
Coon train's coming.
When we start spewing racial slurs, it is time to move on.
Is that a slur?
So, Diva D.
Diva D is off the chain.
Diva D is here, and Diva D is our fashion expert.
Straighten out my cross.
And
keep me close.
Hold on to Jesus.
That cross ain't going to help.
No way.
You better have some garlic around your neck or something.
I need some garlic.
Lead us into our there's something very, very interesting happening in the fashion world that really we need to talk about.
Okay, well, you know, we're always talking about the women's fashion.
It is funny because I feel like I got this trend kind of started.
Yes, and that's why I sent this to you. So if you don't remember last week, or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about somebody on
Zendaya.
The red carpet. Zendaya. This one wanted to cut up her jumpsuit that was horrible, her dress, and turn it into an equally horrible, if not worse, romper.
Right.
And then she proceeds to start sending me messages and DMs with different pictures of rompers. I'm like, let it go. So then all of a sudden, I start seeing these posts of, we could pull up the pictures, these posts of men in rompers.
Can we see our first picture? We have a picture of
Cam Newton.
Who kicked it off at Coachella.
Yes. I think he's fine.
I didn't even see him.
Yes. He is cute. Now, this trend is, especially among black people, is just sending people to the, like,
they're going
to the river.
Now.
They're jumping. I love it. I love a masculine man who will wear something that, you know, many people might think is asexual and, you know, just own it and have fun with it.
Yeah, he looks, you know what, it looks fun on him. He looks very comfortable. He's at Coachella.
Got his hat on.
Where else can he wear that?
Right.
Well, like,
that's the thing. Like, where you can't wear that to get milk.
Oh, you know what? Or if he goes to, like, the horse races. Yes. I can see it being done
there. Oh, the Derby?
No,
not the Derby.
At the Derby.
The polo, like a polo classic.
No.
Why not?
You have to be a little more.
Google some.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
Like, where would you? Yeah. Coachella is perfect. A family barbecue. He's entertaining. A pool party.
Hanging out.
Like, I love
day parties
too. The little flowers on. I want to smell them. I want to pick every single one of them.
See what I'm saying?
He's so cute. Tall.
But it's cute on him. Now, who is the company that did the ad? Because we have that picture next.
I have no idea. I can't. I've been trying to find one. Mm-hmm. The problem for me is I love a romper. I even wore my little jumpsuit today.
You should see, honey, Diva D
with
his 82-pound self in a one piece. But it is adorable. See,
serving
that I like.
Amelia Earhart tees, honey.
Yes.
Oh, this is the one. Now,
Now,
this is where rompers for men go wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
When the whole crew gets together.
And that's a mess. All in one.
And look, I love my brother,
Look at the one in the blue with the fur. I just can't.
He's just doing too much.
It looks too small, too.
The length of the short is not quite right. The waistline isn't right.
Stomach is coming out. That's not a good look. I think it looks like a fraternity hazing. Like they were all, you girls got to go out and wear some rompers.
And had them specially made to be exactly, to be fun.
They look like they're having a good time.
That's true.
With each other. Aretha looked like she's ready to sing, honey. She got her Aretha's ready to go.
So what do y'all think about this trend? Because people are going crazy. And there are some people are kissing, giving it kisses, and there are others giving it hisses.
Oh, I thought they were kissing.
Oh.
I didn't see those pictures.
You
give it a kiss?
It's fun. I mean, like, everybody can't pull it off. I would say almost none of them pulled it off in this picture. But I feel like Cam really pulled it off. And I wouldn't trip. I would first be like, oh, snap, you got a romper on. But looking at it, I'd be like, oh, you're kind of sexy. I think it's fun.
The way he wore it, he killed it. But I could see, like, the gay boys trying, you know, oh my gosh, right?
Yeah. Can
you
see it? I can do it.
I see that they, are gonna, for the summer, blowing bubbles and rompers.
Blowing bubbles?
Yes. Well,
she said blowing bubbles.
You never seen that? Like,
when I tell you, I can't imagine gay pride. Now, it's funny because I'm glad you said that because I'm looking at it as a heterosexual woman who. I like men. This is very unattractive to me.
Even on Cam?
Cam wore it. I thought he was kind of cute. It kind of, to me, it fit his personality. What's going to happen is because it's a new trend, people are going to be jumping on the bandwagon that shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's some people that need to stay off the wagon.
Right.
But they're going to jump on it because it's a trend. And they're just not going to be able to pull it off.
So check your swag before you buy one.
It's going to be a mess this summer.
If you got the swag, you can do it.
It's going to be a mess this summer with all
these. Your good girlfriends or your good friends and say, that you can trust to not screenshot it and hold it against you later on and say, hey, does this look cute on me? I don't mind it. I think with fashion now, we're moving in a direction where it's becoming less about gender norms where women have to look feminine. You know, remember the days where, what are you trying to be, a lesbian or a man, because women wanted to wear pantsuits. Mm. But now it's, I think men being able to show a softer side of their masculinity, I don't think that this makes you look any more or less feminine or masculine. It's the person that's wearing it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm laying by the pool at the peninsula having me a little martini and here comes Cam Newton in his little romper,
we're good with it.
I'm gonna talk to him.
We're good
I'm
with
gonna
it.
Be like, well, daddy, come on, sit on down and maybe give me a refill or fill me up. But if one of these characters showed up, and I feel like they would all show up at the same time, like a boy band, and start trying to do wop ba da boop ba ba doo doo, I'd be like, no, I'm not feeling it.
Do we have the next picture? Because this is what, from the front.
There you go.
But no, but see, I'm having a hard time with it from the back.
Why?
The back angle is, the back is messing with me.
All of it.
The back is messing with me. Hmm. Yeah, it's like, it's a little too tailored for my taste.
Mm-hmm.
This is something a toddler should be in.
No, to me that's
sexy. If you're over six, like don't wear a romper.
Like a sexy
mechanic.
Unless
you're Cam Newton.
Mm-mm.
That's sexy?
To me, I like that.
Okay,
the way he's got it all unbuttoned, I'd jump on in.
Oh, when they got it, why you gotta sit on everything and jump on everything?
I'm not trying to sit on it, but I'm trying to see something.
We need to orchestrate you getting some.
So you're gonna open it up.
You got a monkey on your back.
What are you gonna do? A monkey on my back? Well, tell him to get down lower. Tell him to get off my back and get into the business.
I can't. I
like that. If he comes up to the table and I'm sitting down, I'm like, oh, how are you doing? You might be able to see a little something down there.
He looks a little European.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's very European. You took the words right out of my mouth. So if we were overseas, if we were in
South of France,
Paris,
yes.
It's like, okay, Korea. Well, do your thing.
But why we can't let it be a little American?
Well, I'm just gonna tell Miami? You right now, you can't wear this down on Crenshaw and not think you're going to get beat up. I kind of try to tone it down when I'm over on Crenshaw.
So you wouldn't even wear this on Crenshaw?
I wouldn't wear that on Crenshaw. I'd wear this on Crenshaw.
Wait, yeah, DVD goes to Crenshaw?
I sure do.
What do you go over there?
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, what's over there?
In the daytime.
What you mean?
Well, they're building it up.
But what are you getting from over there?
Some of the shops. I find a lot of the hip fashions kind of start in the hood. Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, it does.
Now, this one right here,
that's what I'm talking
we good.
About.
We
That's
good.
What I'm
See,
about.
It's about no, shape. He's killing that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's about shape. I'm full. I'm
so
full.
That's it. I think you just have to know what you can wear and what you can't. What's the matter? You don't want
okay,
any?
Okay, I guess I'll take good. Some. I'm like,
drink it, drink it.
Yeah, you have to know what you can wear and what you
pressure.
Can't. But he's got his little silver
hair.
Foam
cup of hair.
Silver daddy.
You know, okay. He's very hairy. He's got tattoos all over his arm.
And he got big all thighs. Right. Look at his
yes.
thighs.
Yes, like, and it's kind of full. It's not really tight.
Nobody would
you
mess
know,
with him. Nobody's
going to
go
green
up to
color.
Him
no.
and say, oh, what are you
That's
trying
cute.
To do?
Yeah, you don't see
That's
onesie.
Cute.
You just
yeah.
see
yeah.
a drawstring.
You see him. You see a string to draw open.
Well, and it almost looks like it's two different. It looks like a yes. shorts yeah. And a top. It doesn't look so romperish. Yeah.
That's how a lot of and the men look down in Orange County, too.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. When we go to Orange County.
Right.
It's been
a while. It's been a while.
No,
it's been a while.
I can't go.
I can't.
Ooh, Courtney. Available? I can't.
I just need you as support.
I got conflicts okay. down
well,
there.
Are you engaged or
you
married?
Might drink. You I might. You might
engaged?
Need.
That's
you might
true.
Need a designated
you're
driver.
Single.
Exactly.
But I always take a designated mm-hmm. driver though. Can I go just to drive?
Yeah, we'll just drive. We'll drive okay, you. We'll drive. Just we'll just chaperone you. I got to keep mm-hmm. you in line.
Who, me?
So I gotta go. Yeah.
I'll say yes.
Just a chaperone.
Say yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just come Let's on go. Down.
You
we'll go
silly.
Down the montage where they call me Mrs. Talbert. Hey, Mrs. Talbert.
Let's do
how
it.
Ooh,
let me set a date
we'll
and you
going in. All right. Let's get into. Well, he's good on these pictures. Let's get into our main topic about timing. Let me set this up. I think she was at the Apollo, wasn't she?
Yep.
Okay. So during a recent stand-up show at the Apollo, comedian and Oscar winner Monique called out Lee Daniels, Tyler Perry, and Oprah Winfrey in a pull-no-punches obscenity-laced skit on stage. Since appearing in the Daniels-directed and Winfrey and Perry-produced film Precious in 2009, Monique has made repeated claims that she was blackballed in Hollywood, in large part because of how she handled the 2010 Oscar campaign for the movie Precious. She went on to say on stage, and I didn't do the clip for that. Y'all can look it up in your own time. It is pretty hearty language.
You could have put it
like
up.
That.
We're ready for it. We're all God-fearing people. We know that we're saved.
Well, why don't you read this quote, Dan?
Dan.
So, oh, she don't even want to read the quote.
Read the quote. Read the quote. Right. What she done said in the
it's blue. Right
oh, yes, no, I was not blackballed. I was whiteballed by some black dicks who had no balls, the comedian told the crowd. So thank you, Mr. Lee Daniels. Thank you, Mr. Tyler Perry. Thank you, Ms. Oprah Winfrey. It would kill me not to say the real shit. Y'all could suck my dick if I had one.
Hello.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Well, I just
me.
Got hot.
You see?
Yeah. Now, but, okay, go ahead.
But that was too. That was in a comedy
yes,
setting.
Yes, it wasn't a comedy right. skit.
Right. It wasn't.
She
know,
went too far.
She wasn't on Barbara Walters.
She went too far because, first of all, let's be clear. You know what this business is getting into it. So you can't change it. I don't care. You can come 100 years from now.
Right.
This business has been established a long time ago. And we all know that. Getting into it, it is a game. It's who's dating who, who's friends with who, who's in bed with who. That's how it works.
So she's not playing the game.
But that's what
is that
it
what
is.
You,
yeah,
right.
you. It has been established. It would be different if they changed the rules once she came. The rules mm-hmm. have been set in, like, what is it, the 20s, the 18, you know what I mean, 19, 18. The rules were set a long time ago. So when you came into it, you knew what it was. You can't come into Hollywood and thinking, oh, I'm going to change the rules. You can change the game by doing your own thing.
Well, and I think maybe that's what she's trying
she's
to do.
Yeah.
But she, what has she been working on?
Let me ask you guys first. Let's go
she
back.
She made that movie last year, Blackbird. It was good.
But timing, do you think after this happened, 2010, I believe, the incident. So 7, 8 years ago. Yeah, almost 8 years ago. Is her timing off? Should she just let it go? Should she still be...
Gotta let it go.
Because you know what bitter, when people say you're bitter, that right. just means that you've stayed in a place too long and now you're starting to sour. Mm-hmm. And
she like the lady that was Fresh Prince. Janet Huber. Who will not shut she up about how angry and sad. I'm like, honey, that was 20 years. Don't know. Most people don't even know who you are.
Right, the new millennials do not have never no heard idea. Of.
And yeah. you just look crazy. Like, you just look like you are holding on. And if everything was so fabulous and so great and you mm-hmm. are in your blessing of now, that's the past. And mm-hmm. you need right. to let that go. And that's, to me, that's what Monique ended up looking like. Even if I slightly agree and I understand mm-hmm. there's always that debate. It's sort of like the Malcolm versus Martin thing. Like, are we going to just kind of go with it how they're doing it their way and sort of work within the system versus work outside the system mm-hmm. is really the argument that she has. But at this point, it's been 7-8 years, girl. You still working as you want to work because you stood your ground the way you wanted to stand mm-hmm. your ground. So you can't come back now and be mad at people for not taking the route that you chose to take mm-hmm. and call them out their names and be disrespectful and all of that. To me, that says more about you than it says about mm-hmm. them.
You know what? I did my research, but I'm sure that our listeners, too. What was the issue? They just said she wasn't. She wanted to get paid for the campaigning.
Yes. Right. Well, the way like the film happened and everything. Yes. And what I feel about it is I just don't feel like she feels as though she's had the closure. But, you know.
Well, obviously.
So what happened was it was a very low budget film.
Yes.
And then I think it went to Cannes Film Festival and they wanted her to pay her own way to get there. To France, and she had a problem. This is what she's saying. But her husband, who is her manager, was speaking on her behalf mm-hmm. and was like, no, you need to pay her way, this and that, blah, blah, blah.
And she had the twins and all that. Yeah. And I think she put.
And that to me is understandable. But I would have a problem having to do it on my own dime.
But I think it was she wanted more than just herself. I think she wanted the twins, the husband, the whole entourage to be flown out there.
And it's low budget.
It's not conducive to the project. It doesn't make sense. Me personally.
So were they not going to pay for her?
I think what it really boils down to is at the time, you have to go back to that film was getting mm-hmm. such incredible buzz. She was getting buzz as possibly getting a nomination, which we now know that she did receive the award. Mm-hmm. And so my feeling is, and you know, I have to be honest, I had met Monique and worked with her and, you know, and did some collaboration with her on a mm-hmm. few things, was invited to her baby shower, you know, at the height of her career when mm-hmm. she was having the talk show. And when this came along, I was so happy that she was winning and getting all of these accolades. Yeah. And so when I look back on it, I see someone who arguably made that film.
Yeah.
Took that, because when Precious came out, it was her performance and Gabrielle Sidibe's performance, mm-hmm. but it was her performance that really got people.
She's an amazing actor.
Exactly. It was amazing.
But when you're an artist, it's not about you. So you can't think that way.
End, it's money. Like, it's numbers. Like, mm-hmm. in the end, like, we have this amount for budget. Like, we can't do this for you. That doesn't entitle you to decide. If you're focused on your art and what that means and where you're trying to go with it, then you understand that the larger picture is, yeah, it really sucks, and yeah, I want to stand up for my right to be flown where I need to fly, mm-hmm. first class or whatever, but maybe this isn't the situation to exert that effort into. Mm-hmm. I win this award, I move to my next project, then I demand all of this, than another.
Were you on set?
But Courtney hit it on the nail, because when you're an artist, if you don't even get paid anything, if the script is bomb, you'll be like, I don't need to get paid, because it's about this. Was she a producer on that movie?
She wasn't a producer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, still, I feel, I think it was, they wouldn't fly her whole entourage. That's where she was like, if they don't go, I'm not going. Something like that.
But I still think, because no one ever, Oprah has never really spoken on this. Like,
because Oprah's too big for this.
Right.
Does she feel, because Oprah, all these high profile people, these wealthy big wig Hollywood people were attached to it, that they did have the money?
I think
that they could have done it. I mean, why is she?
I look at it more as, y'all can't have a sister's back. Yeah. And that's how she feels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of who's right or who's wrong or how the system works or how it doesn't mm-hmm. work, you know, the older I get, the more I start thinking about how is this person feeling, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe is there something that could Oprah have maybe called her personally? Could Tyler maybe called her personally?
But that's expected too much.
We don't know that that didn't happen. Because she could still be in her, what it seemed like, she's still in her feelings. Nobody stood up for her publicly for whatever, because it went on to, it proceeded that she wouldn't thank producers and things. Like, I don't think she thanked them in her speech, and then something about interviews or something.
Thank Lee, but directors, like, directors are assholes. They're known to be assholes, but that's how they get the project done. And it's not like they're trying to be, but you have to be have a certain personality to I just feel like you have to have a certain personality to get the job done. Like they say, women in power are bitches. It may come off like that, but you're not really an asshole. It just is perceived by people because they don't know the task that I have to accomplish. He probably didn't have enough money to get it done, and he was calling people he knew. I think he called Mariah.
Yeah. Right.
Mariah Carey helped with them. You know what I mean? Mm. He's like, girl, do you know what I did to get this done for you? Mm. And now the plane ticket first class from L.A. to Cannes is $6,000 at that time.
Yeah. It seems like she didn't look at the bigger picture.
No. Yeah. Yeah. She felt, I mean? She felt like she took that time
timing.
To assert.
She wasn't. She was in the moment. She didn't look at it from the point of view as this is an investment. Let me do this here.
Right.
Let me give here. And like you said, the next thing. Because once you get an Oscar, the world kind of opens up for you.
Yes.
And it hasn't for her.
Not
it
always. Can. It can. There are many cases where people win Oscars and they just kind of go away.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have... So we don't... Like,
but with her personal...
She did say that she thought that, you know, that's what was supposed to happen.
Well, I would feel blackballed, too, if people are talking about me. And, you know, in the media.
And stuff is not coming through.
Right. And, you know, at the time when I was reading it, I kept thinking to myself, well, why can't they just all sit down together, get together, meet up with one another? Because it seemed like somebody's feelings got hurt on both sides, that either Lee's feelings got hurt or Tyler's feelings got hurt and her feelings got hurt.
But it's,
and
they like, just y'all talking about feelings in a place of business. And, like, at some point, you have to stand up and be like, you know what? It was a business decision. It made no sense for me to, and I get people
have feelings.
Yes, they do. But at a certain point, it's not my job as a coworker to worry about your feelings. Like, something needs to get done. These people have invested money in this film. I have a job to do, and I need to make sure that gets done. I can be respectful to you, but I can't coddle you because you are upset as what this system that you signed on for has brought to your table.
Yeah. And people get mad when they think Oprah is she's almost a billionaire?
Yeah, she is a billionaire.
But people don't realize to get to the point that she's at financially, you can't, just because you have the money, that doesn't mean you give
you
it. Monique wants me to pay for her whole, just because I'm Oprah doesn't mean she's afforded that privilege. Like, I'm going to shell out $30,000. No.
It's, we're not there yet.
Well, at the end of the day, she got an Oscar. Who else over there has one? So at least she can say, out of all these people, I have an Oscar.
But that's not enough for her. It's not enough for her because she keeps speaking out on it.
It seems, too, like she got caught up. The lines were skewed. There was a lot of maybe friendship stuff happening and relationships, and it went beyond business. And she had expectations that as a friend that did not get met, and she got in her feelings. But let me ask you this, though. She's still hot about it, and I'm sure it's still fresh for her because the work still isn't coming. You know, for us, it's old news. For them, it's old news. Now,
she's still dealing with the repercussions.
Yeah, she's still dealing with the repercussions. So what makes no sense to me is to get on stage now and to reignite this whole thing, the timing of it. Now you've just breathed new life into it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think part of it is, you know, like you said, the game is pretty much consistent. I think the game is changing a little bit in media. You know,
just
what
to
used
play
to
nice,
be like the
teamwork.
Like with the studio system, like, you know, the agents were in charge, the producers were in charge, you know, the movie companies were in charge. And now you have situations where you have Amazon, where you have Netflix, where you have people that aren't, you know, specifically in the movie industry coming out and putting out shows and projects that are winning major awards.
But that's mechanics of the system. That's not the game of the system.
Right.
Because to still get in with Amazon, like, it's still that same game. Like, to get something pitched to Netflix, it's still, you're still playing in the same water.
You know, and I understand that, but I think it's slowly moving away from that very, you know, traditional system. Where we are today with the entertainment industry is very different than where we were even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an industry that's been going on for like...
Well, more so you have more opportunities, but the business is still the same.
The business side of it is still the same. You know, like, I would love to see Monique in something. I think, you know, for her not to be given a role because of some of this stuff... And, you know, considering
she's a liability.
If she would just let go of this for real, the universe would reward her.
Yes.
Do you think she's personifying the stereotype of the angry black woman?
I think she's doing it to herself, and I think she had help with other people doing it to her. Because within our own community, we can be our best champions and we could be our worst critics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, just the fact that we're talking about it, you know, I'm at a point in my life where maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, she's crazy. She didn't deserve any of this. But, you know, as I get older and hopefully wiser, you know, to all the cute little men out there, I'm growing.
Oh,
I'm
Lord.
Growing. You know, but I want to.
I'm growing too. I have grown too.
You ain't grown
shameless.
As big as I get to grow, honey.
But shameless. DVD will not be
stop.
Back next week. This is his last appearance.
You know,
she eats.
It was puts all it,
was the, it was the raspberry strawberry.
This is what
did
it.
To me.
Whatever that what, is.
It's like a smoothie in a bottle.
Like a smoothie.
And see, now look, I'm going
to
go, I'm gonna
which
take
head
my comedy show on the road and be like,
she had me up there getting drunk and she did it to me and now she wants to kick me off the shop and blackball.
I'm going to be your manager. I'll book you.
You'd like to be blackballed. That's the difference between you and Monique. She don't want to be blackballed.
Brown ball.
On the other hand, I'm okay with it.
But no, but I think, you know, I feel like at a certain point, she at this point, I think this should be the last time she speaks on it.
But it won't
you know,
be.
Like get it out there, let it out. Like it's been 7 years or however
she,
many
she
years.
This can't be the last time because she just reignited this whole thing.
So now it's going
to
keep going.
But she has the power to be able to just
it.
Say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I'm still in my.
Oh no, no, no! She
I
got interviewed and said that. She was clearly. Fine with what she said, and she was would not take it back.
You know
she
what?
Perfectly, she could produce some stuff
we gonna
on
let
her
Diva
own.
D sit down with her. You didn't mean that, Monique, did you? Yes,
yes.
The
I
hell
did,
I did.
Girl.
I did.
She's still mad.
Well, Monique didn't really mean it, guys. Stay tuned.
Will you come and edit it for me?
I sure will.
Chop it up, make it something else.
Is there a fine, like you know, how people say she because she said it would kill me not to say the real shit. It would kill me. So for the sake of keeping it real, because it's almost like, is there a fine line between keeping it real and being a sellout?
I think she's, like for her.
Or playing the game. Playing the game and being a sellout.
Well, have you ever gone to see her comedy shows?
And
did you
it,
ever see any of her comedy shows
well,
back
let me,
in the
let
day?
Because
that's how she was.
Well, and then my other part of the question is it, can you say things? Is it not, it's not what you say, but how you say it? Is that true here?
Yeah.
Could she have delivered that? Because she could have really made that funny. I watched the skit. I didn't think it was funny. It came off very angry.
And negative, right. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came from, like, that was from the bottom of her feet. It just came up, like, that is in her. That
but
is
do you,
packed down.
But I watched it and felt as though if this were a man doing this in the same sort of situation.
We would have said the same thing.
I don't know that we would have.
I would.
I think sometimes we... We hold women and
true.
Black women
to a different
very different
that's
standard.
True.
To a very different standard. And
but
you
the
know,
time is what is the problem.
Yeah. But her show was always like that. I mean, I've
but
been to her show.
But we don't want
to
hear
about your show, but you didn't turn it into the art. You kept
right.
it on the
yeah.
I'm just in my
but
feelings level.
She would talk
level.
About things like that. You know, she would talk about
yeah,
her
she
show.
Did,
but
it was
she didn't
show.
Make a joke. Like even, what's his, shoot, Richard Pryor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He talked about how he set himself on fire. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah.
Right. But he made a joke about it. He didn't say,
yes.
I burnt myself up because I was high
because
and tripping
industry.
And I'm fucked up. You know, he didn't go. He was like, shit, yeah. my turn black and blue before I knew it. I was running that. You know, he made us laugh
yes.
at, like, laugh at me. She didn't do that.
She hasn't made it there yet.
She didn't say,
she hasn't come, you're
if,
right.
if it was
she
more so like, they
circle.
Blackballed me and I'm trying to at least redball myself. Something,
yeah.
you know, I'm trying to get back in. Can somebody
true.
Give me a job? You
she,
know?
She doesn't think, usually when you can kind of take that kind of responsibility and make a joke out of it, is you've taken responsibility and you realize your part in
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's not what's going on here. I don't know what Monique's part was in it. You know what I mean? She
right.
could have been just dealt, like, I mean, just handled really, really wrong and the short end of the stick, whatever. I don't know. But I do think there's a more productive, more effective way to handle things.
You're right. And maybe she was, maybe in her mind, it was coming out funnier than it came out.
Because it wasn't
maybe,
funny.
Like, maybe in her mind, she was setting it up, and as she's talking about it, because when I watch it, I said, oh, you're still, it's still raw to
she's,
her.
Like,
and it's still raw. And okay.
But that's the point. You need to know that about what you're going through.
The pray part.
Mm-hmm.
What God teaches you, you let it go and you let him handle it. You have to let it be handled. You can't hold on to it because he can never do what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to let it go because whatever they did wrong to you, it'll be handled. They'll get it back because karma is a, you know.
That's it. And in her defense,
it's not 7 years old because it got reignited once before when Empire started, because supposedly like that was the further proof that she was blackballed when we wanted her for Cookie and then it didn't work out.
And actually, you know, on Bravo, on what's his name, Andy Cohen's show, Watch What Happens Live, you know, Lee kind of, you know, reignited some things and, you know, said some things without saying some things.
But see, that's how you do it. But see, that's
but
okay.
But it still came across as shady. It still came
but
across
that's okay.
like...
But that's okay. You just shaded me twice. And I remember we're going to talk about it after the show. But
here we go.
I'm just saying, shade me, but don't blow me. She blew up the spot. She blew the spot
She did
up.
Not shade them. She said, it was suck a bomb. My dick, y'all
I may not
assholes.
Be back
like,
next week, y'all.
You know, shade me. Don't just blow me up. You just got me out here looking like, I don't...
And it's sad because she has allies. Like, nobody's confused. Like, even though I'm, like, on technically producer's side at this point, I'm like, I get, you probably got a little screwed somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. And it's obvious. Like, she just did a great movie. What was it, last year? She did Blackbird. Hey, ain't nobody heard about that movie. No, nobody,
and,
but nobody.
And
so
most
I get
people
it.
In that business get screwed.
Exactly.
It's called paying your
Which
dues.
Is the point. Yes.
Lee Daniels had been around for years, and he's just now getting his acclaim. Like, he's just now getting his acclaim.
And
he's
her
done
argument
so many.
Would be that she had been around for years, so Precious was supposed to be her moment. And I get that, but you don't get to decide when your moment is.
And the moment, as an artist, is never one person.
No.
It's the crew. It's the stage. It's everybody who comes together and puts it to... If you ever think it's just about you, you're not going to succeed.
Now, as a producer, if you are working on a project and you have a casting director come to you and say, you know, this part would be great for Monique, you know, does all of this make you think... And you see to yourself, I can see this part being great for her... Do you think that that would cause hesitation for you to
absolutely because she has made herself a liability because she didn't
even
drop
though
it.
Her art is
it's not it's about called art. We are not in community theater. We are here to make money. It is called Hollywood show business for a reason. So it has to be both, and we don't like it. Don't get me wrong, because there's art in me and in my soul, and I would love to just be acting and just doing and not caring about anything. But that's not. It's not show business. We're here to make money.
Have you ever, I'm sure, DVD, you have, you know, your clients, your personal clients in Orange County. Have there ever been some that were just too difficult to work with and you were like, you know what? All money ain't good money.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it was at a point where I had become more established where I could say, you know what? I'm not going to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, it got to a point. I had clients that would drop $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a day with me, you know, every 3 to 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where I said, I can't work with this client anymore. And I'd have to talk to my supervisors and say, look, that money's gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to refocus and work with somebody else. And they were so nervous about it because all they saw was the money.
Yeah.
They didn't see the stress that I was under.
Sure.
They didn't see that I had lost 5 pounds in a year and was, you know, held hostage.
You lost 5 pounds in a year.
How you do it?
You shaved your hair off and you lost some 5 pounds.
I went from a tote bag to a carry-all. But, you know... But it was. I went through a lot of stress, and I said, you know, I can't deal with this. And a year later, you know, I actually sold more because I said I'm actually able to give my time to you know to all of these other people. So I get what you're saying. That, you know, sometimes you know you really want to be with somebody, you want to be there for somebody, but when it becomes an issue
or a burden,
or a burden. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I may not survive till next week.
For real.
To talk like she's going to get me outside.
You know?
Catch me outside. She got a braid. She put a box of braids in.
Are you scared?
No, she did not say box of braids.
I'm not scared. I'm going to be cautious when I leave the studio.
Look at my eyes.
Do we have just three minutes left? Do we have the option of going a little longer? Because we started late. I want to get to, because we're talking about timing. And Courtney, you sent me this story that I thought was so interesting. It's a new app And this new app is called Just a Baby. And it's like Tinder on prenatal steroids. Its purpose is to bring people together solely based on their desire to make a baby. So you can literally swipe to the right for an egg donor, swipe to the right for a sperm donor, swipe to the right for a surrogate. Now, I tied this into timing because the founders, one of the Ryan, he's one of the inventors. One of the things he said, I thought it could cater to millennials who may be less inclined to settle down than previous generations, but still want to experience parenthood. Mm. Now I'm thinking, timing. Is that putting the cart before the horse? Don't you want to let time basically have its perfect work and let God bring you who you're supposed to be, you know, yoked with and connected with in raising a family?
No. Depends on whether your car is a Hyundai or a Mercedes. No. Like, if you've got the money to do it and you can afford to do it and that's what you want, you know, a lot of us feel as though, from my generation especially, mm-hmm. you're in my generation, is that there was this emphasis on marriage and a family unit, especially within the Black community. Mm-hmm. Like, the Black families are going away. You know, we got to stay together as a unit. But it's sometimes that's not the best thing for an adult. And if you bring kids into a situation and it becomes negative or
what
you know,
about
volatile.
The child, though? You don't feel that the child deserves to have, you know, two parents?
I was raised by a single parent. My mother passed away when I was very young, and I was one of these kids that was like, oh, you trying to bring who into the house? No, Daddy, you're not going to date or marry
but
her.
But you weren't. That wasn't the intention, though.
I shut it down.
The intention wasn't for you to be raised by a single parent. I was raised by a single parent. That wasn't the intention.
It wasn't, but you know, I would have, looking back on mm-hmm. it, because there were issues on both sides, you know, I have the benefit of hindsight. And when you're younger, you get emotional, like you blame one parent mm-hmm. for the situation yeah. that you're in. But looking back on it, I said, you know what? I don't think perhaps my mother was ready to raise two kids with my father. And my dad got custody of both of us in the 1970s. So that tells you something about the situation that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, someone might say, well, it's great to have two parents around. My dad worked his butt off. I mean, to put my sister through gymnastics school, to, you mm-hmm. know, make sure I went to the best schools, buying homes down the street from one of the top high schools in the state of California to make sure we had, you know, the best education. And I would not trade that for, you know, I wouldn't trade all the hard work that he did as a single parent to possibly have two parents that would be mediocre in what they were willing to do for me or my sister. He went above and beyond. Yeah. And kids that had two parents, they weren't doing, my friends, their parents weren't doing for them what my dad was doing for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it really depends on how passionate
you
are about having kids.
I see what you're saying, but sometimes when stuff is too easy and too accessible, mm-hmm. we end up grabbing for it before we're really ready to have it because it's there.
Yes.
So that stimulates or it evokes in us an emotion to want something that we might not really be ready for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is
that? Well, I feel like, I mean, we're already like dating and finding people online anyway, okay?
Yeah.
So when I read this about the app, I was like, if you legitimately like think about adding yourself to this type of an app, you have a powerful desire to start a family. And because like you can date and do Tinder and do all that without any of this. So if you add that, you have something that really is saying, I'm ready to start a family. Okay.
And it's not like you're ordering sperm with the app and it shows up at the house.
I mean, it's not like you're like, let's go get pregnant. So you still have to meet
That'll
the person.
Next.
Like you're swiping to meet somebody that you think you want to co-parent with. So it's sort of like getting in a relationship with somebody. Like if it was a blind date, like Michelle was like, I got this dude who's ready to settle down. Courtney, you ready to settle down? Like maybe y'all are sort of in the same vein. Y'all go on a date. I don't see it any different than people setting up people that know they're family-minded versus people that you might set up friends that you know they just want to hook up.
Right.
That, to me, sounds like it's people that are actually family-minded and ready to get on that path. And so you're not going into it blind like, okay, I want to date you. Oh, but you don't want kids for another 5 years? I can't wait 5 years. I got to go somewhere else.
Or they end up pregnant. And they're like, wait a minute. You told me you want a pill. It's like, oh, but I wanted a baby. But you didn't tell me.
At least then they're taking on the burden for themselves.
I feel like that's where the world is leading to.
Oh, it is.
That's just where, you know, like, it's a new world out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's what
coming in the and middle. It just goes in line with and how you inject we meet it,
have your girlfriend
now.
Come over but, and inject you know, it inside.
To me, there was something like, intrinsically wrong about on, girl, about diva. Saying for the millennials who it. Aren't ready to settle down, but you want a baby.
But I don't look.
So
I don't,
a baby's not going to settle you down.
I think we're taking the app too far. I don't think that you know when you get the app that you're going to be like, oh my God, I want his sperm, and the sperm's going to show up. I think it's a first step, and then you know, in order to get to the next step, they're going to you know be evaluations. You
and,
like, you
and I think know, they meetings. Do want to, the person who goes on this app does want to settle down, but hasn't found the person who wants to settle down with them too. Because some people have that problem.
Some
you know?
People don't want to settle. They said this is for the millennials.
But
people
that doesn't
that don't
mean,
necessarily want to settle down, but want a family.
But that, like, that millennials that are like, I ain't trying to settle down with nobody. I ain't jumping to like, let me go get pregnant. Like right. that's not.
I don't necessarily want to be in a relationship if I decide you know if I'm financially secure enough in the next few years to have a child on my own, then I'll do that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'll have one. I mean, I'm getting ready to send this app over to my best friend because I'm like, well, why don't you guys have a baby and you two are married. You can go do what you want. You both work and I'll move up from Orange County. I'll rent out my house. I'll take care of the baby because I really want to have, you know, that sort of parenting influence. Mm-hmm. And so if I can't do it, I'm like pressuring my friend. I'm sending him text messages in the middle of the night when I'm drunk in the lounge talking about, when are you going to have that baby? I'm getting old. And he's like, what is going on with him? Because I want to, you know, have that sort of bonding.
See, yeah. I think when it's a person who wants to settle down, but maybe they just can't find that person where, you know, it's just a, you know, with connection. Like he said, not being in a negative situation. You know, somebody who's tried, but they're financially stable and said, you know what, I want a child and I'm just going to do it. I can't find the person that I want. I do want to settle down. I do want a child. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do it.
I see. Because I think that we all have timelines on stuff, especially women, where our biological clocks are ticking. So we're like, oh my God, if I don't have this by the age of 36, 37,
well, honey, they're moving
whatever.
That clock is moving a little bit for Janet Jackson. How is it? 67, 80 years old having babies? She's going to be on her next tour talking
He's
about, so I'm pregnant again.
You goofy.
Another 500. Another 500.
But timing is everything.
No, she's so stupid.
So, Courtney, what's
she
our...
She's telling us that.
What's our Halo award?
I'm sorry. Janet is 80.
I can't. See, it feels like it.
It did feel like it. But more power to her and all the people that just randomly want to have a baby by themselves because I don't want one by myself.
Yeah, it's hard enough.
It's hard enough. Yes. Like, I just can't even imagine that. But,
it's difficult.
All right. So, our Halo award this week, even though this is somebody that normally I'm just not feeling anyway, but he did something this week that made me real excited about my life again because
Tyrese?
I was real upset. No, I'm never speaking on Tyrese again. I'm giving the Halo Award to the former FBI Director James Comey, and the reason I'm giving it to him is right here, y'all. So he got fired last week, for those of you all that do not know, and Mr. Trump, who usually I don't say his name, I usually call him Cheetos, sent out a tweet talking about, you better not be talking because you don't know what was recorded in the office. That's not, like, verbatim what he said, but essentially he was trying to allude to the fact that maybe he recorded some conversations in their office and that Comey needs to watch his mouth. Well, Comey dropped a bomb this week and was like, well, guess what, bruh? I thought you were sideways every time we met, so I took copious notes and I got memos for every single meeting that we had. There were up to 3 meetings, I believe, in January and February that he met one-on-one with the president. And clearly in one of the meetings, the president asked everybody to leave the room and spoke directly to Comey alone and said, so we gonna drop this whole Mike Flynn investigation, right? I mean, we're not gonna push that.
He's a good man.
So there is possibly proof that our president tried to impede an FBI investigation into Flynn's ties to Russia, and thereby the whole Russia investigation could have been an attempt to impede on it by Trump. And there are memos that were shown to other employees, and it is very clear that this may be happening. He hasn't testified in front of the Senate committee yet, so we don't really know all
that's
the specific details.
We need to go to D.C. and film from out there.
But I was like, you were messing up all kind of stuff last year, Comey, with Hillary and all kind of, he was a mess and probably needed to be fired, but probably should have been fired back in January, but I'm so glad when he was like, guess what, I got receipts.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I love it. All right, you guys, that's our show. We're going to go around, give our takeaways, and Courtney, give a takeaway and tell everybody how they can keep up with you.
Everybody can keep up with me everywhere at Stuart Starlet. And my takeaway for the day is something I haven't thought of yet because I'm always first and I never have it.
She's always first.
My takeaway,
but never has it.
I'm always first, and
I always think
that I should be thinking about it before we're. But I don't never know when you're really gonna wrap up because we got 17 minutes on the clock.
That's for the next show.
Okay. I'm going to use my takeaway today is that everybody has their own style, man. And if you got the swag to rock a romper, I'm going to still talk to you.
I love it.
You just got to have the right swag. You don't wear the let the romper wear you. You wear the romper.
Mm. Or let me take it off.
Well,
Cam.
Hey, Cam.
How you doing? I mean, Cam, I'll do
it. I got a hat like yours, too.
Dee, final thoughts, and how can everybody keep up with you?
Well, you all can keep up with me on Instagram and Twitter at It's Diva D. It's Diva D, not just Diva D. But my takeaway today is this. I think in life, like you said, it's all about timing, and it's all about, you know, moments. And you know, thinking as we get older, that learning the lessons from our past and waiting and being patient, saying what we have to say, being kind in our truth, mm-hmm. being truthful in our kindness, and being honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, understanding that a lot of times it's not just about you, mm-hmm. that as hurt or as, you know, it's as wounded as you might feel, the other person on the other side of the table may feel just as bad. Mm-hmm. And so really just understanding that, let's take a step back, talk to one another, listen to one another, but understand that the timing is key. And it's not always great for you to just go off.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, Michelle.
So my takeaway is, if you shade me two times too many, I will meet you outside. No, I'm joking.
With her box of hair.
So, okay, no, my takeaway would be that sometimes in life, you just have to let it go. Mm-hmm. It could hurt. It seems painful. But you cannot get what God or whoever your God is or the universe can't give you. You can't receive if you don't let that negative ball of energy can give you cancer. It can make you sick. You have to let it go. You have to let it go and live in your purpose without the negative thing. Life is so much easier. I've let so many things go that I probably could have shot somebody by now. Ooh. But I'm just saying, if you know what I mean. If
can we switch seats next week?
You won't be here next week.
Can somebody,
I got him back. I don't have to meet you outside now.
Is somebody recording this?
No, we're just having fun because we've been drinking this. Cherie gets us, you know,
nah,
tipsy.
Nah.
I just want to say, in life, you have to let it go.
Yes, amen. You do. Amen. And how can they keep up with you?
Everything is Michelle, all E's, not I. Michelle Epps on everything.
Well, I'm Cherie Fletcher across all media platforms, and my final takeaway is the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And turning the other cheek, we sometimes look at that as a weakness, or we think that we're becoming a doormat. It really is a position of power. It's standing in your truth, but it's not letting the haters sway you and get you to act outside your character and block your blessings. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. We will see you
next
week.
Peace.
Okay. Look.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.